Asochananvasochastvam Pragyavadanshchavashase Gatasunna agatasunshcha Nanu sochanti panditaha Sri Bhagavan Vacha Sri Bhagavan Vacha The Supreme Personality of Godhead said Ashochyan not worthy of lamentation. Anvasochas, you are lamenting. Tvam, you. Pragyavadan, learned talks. Cha, also. Bhashase, speaking. Gata, lost. Asun, life. Agata, not past. Asun, life. Cha, also. Na, never. Anushochanti, lament. Panditaha, the learned. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. So, yesterday, we read from verses 1 through 10, and the main theme was that when someone comes to the realization that there's no shelter in the material world, including his own mind and intelligence, at that time he will take full shelter of a spiritual authority.
Tegnap az első tíz verset olvastuk a második fejezetből, ami arra szólt, hogy ha valaki eljut addig a megvalósításig, hogy nem tud semmi mellett menedéket venni, beleértve a saját elméjét is, akkor képes lesz arra, hogy egy lelki autoritás legyenek menedéket.
Kunti Devi, who was the mother of all the Pandavas and a great devotee of Lord Krishna, she gives a very nice example.
Kunti Devi, aki a Pandavák az édesanyja volt, egy nagyon szép példát ad.
She says, Janma Aishwarya Sruta Sribir Edamana Madapuman Naivarhati Abhidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. If someone is very busily engaged in trying to acquire a good birth in a good family, if they're interested in accumulating material opulences, which include beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, if someone is endeavoring with his life's energy for attaining material benefit, then that person won't be able to have the sincerity or the concentration to supplicate the Lord to pray to the Lord sincerely. When we chant Hare Krishna, it is a very simple prayer. It means, dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Sometimes the example is used of a young child crying out to its mother while in some sort of distress. Young babies, everything is new for them in the world. At least in this lifetime. And their bodies are full of different kinds of pains. They can't control their hunger, they can't control their evacuating. So, at one moment, the baby is marveling at the world and smiling and laughing. And 2 minutes later, he's crying and screaming. So, when the child is crying out, he's crying for his mother because that's the only person he really knows in his life. The first stage of development of consciousness is called anamaya, or the awareness that I exist by food, namely my mother's breast. Little children, they do basically two things. They sleep a lot and eat a lot. And if you give a young baby anything, a candle, a pencil, an Achman spoon, what do? Gentlemen, you must have lots of experience. What do they do? They put in the mouth, right? Everything they put in the mouth. That's the first stage of awareness in the world, that I exist by eating. Then the next stage is anamaya pranamaya. I become aware that there are other living beings in the world besides myself. I not only notice my mother, but there's a father there too. And a little more advanced, there are brothers and sisters. And then we have neighbors. The consciousness goes on expanding. Then one comes to the level of Jnana Maya. One begins to inquire about his existence. So, at this stage, when one begins to inquire, to ask questions, who am I? What is the purpose of my life? What is death? What is after death? One can try to answer these questions using his own brain power. But not having any intrinsic knowledge, built in. One speculates and concocts different ideas and theories. And if you go door to door and ask each and every individual person, you'll find that everybody's got a little bit different idea of what knowledge is, what the truth is, etc. But when you get frustrated at this speculative method of knowledge, empirical method of trying to know that which lies beyond the limit of your sense awareness. So, in this example by Kunti Devi, she says that God is purchased by someone who has no material attachment. Just like in the material world, people are used to doing business for everything. Prithu Prabhu was talking about what is actually satisfying to the soul, yayatma supersedati, when one is fully engaged in glorifying God without any motive and without any interruption. But in this material world, people are only used to the idea of bargaining, doing business, cheating, exploiting, somehow or other getting what I want. This attitude is especially prevalent in those who have no concept of a supreme witness, a supreme authority, a supreme enjoyer.
A legfelsőbb tanulról, a legfelsőbb élvezőről.
People are aware of their own consciousness because they exist. I think, therefore I am. It's not a very good proposal, but I experience consciousness, therefore I know I exist, is better. But people are not aware of the Supreme Conscious Being. Krishna says, Sarva Ketreshu Bharata. I am the consciousness within all living beings. I am the knower of the field of all living beings. So, Kunti says that the most expensive thing that you can buy, the absolute truth, is bought by someone who has nothing. Practically all over the world today, there is so much corruption. One of the main reasons why the mass of people are suffering is because the leaders are so corrupt. They're just ordinary foxes who've been covered by blue paint. You know the story, right? The fox goes near the chicken coop of the farmer. The farmer's painting his fence. A bucket of blue paint falls on the fox and he becomes covered. Then he goes back into the forest and all the animals become amazed. What is this blue fox, this blue wolf? Very special, very beautiful. Let us worship him, put him on a big throne. So the wolf liked it. It was very good. Everyone was glorifying him, giving him, you know, gifts and everything, food. So this went on, and large crowd of animals from the forest came. Gradually evening approached. And then the moon came up. And just like any ordinary wolf, the blue painted wolf jumped off his big throne and ran to the nearest hill and began yelling at the moon, just like any ordinary wolf. So because the people that somehow or other get in office are subject to lust, anger, greed, envy, they get in office by hook or crook, and then they exploit everyone. And they bribe one another. Bribe?
I know
Okay, just say everything and then insert bribe. Maybe people also know the word, but nothing. Okay. I was often thinking that instead of having the war in Kosovo, the Americans or the NATO forces, they must have spent about $8 or $10 billion. Why didn't they just give $5 billion to Mr. Milosevic and bribe him and avoid the war? I mean, he could have put the $5 billion in his Swiss bank account and he would have been very happy. But when you get to Krishna, you can't bribe God. You can't bribe God. You can't. When you get to Krishna, when you come to Krishna, when you... You have nothing that he needs. I remember in India we had one life member. His name was Mr. Birla. So Prabhupada once gave an example that if you want to please Mr. Birla, what will you do? You can't give him a new car. He has his own automobile factory. You can't buy him a trip abroad, a trip to the West, to bribe him. He owns his own airlines. So what are you going to give him to please him? But if he has a young son and you give him a 2 paisa, 2 foreign candy, and the child is happy, then the father is very pleased. But anyway, Krishna is pleased when his devotee, who is completely free from all attachment, surrenders to him. Krishna is ajita, or unconquerable, but he becomes jita, conquered by his devotee's love. So when we give up trying to outsmart, when we give up trying to be smarter than God, when we just recognize that we're very small, we're very small. The astronauts, when they go up in their Sputnik, or they go up in their Discovery space shuttle, as they get farther and farther away from the Earth, the Earth becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And they realize how insignificant we are in this world. So we're not controlling the rain. I remember they had a drought in Madras for about 5 years one time.
történik a szárazság.
It was a very bad drought, no rain, the crops were being spoiled.
Nem volt nagyon rossz volt ez a szárazság, nem volt semmi eső, a gabona tönkrement.
Funny thing had happened actually. They, in Madras, they're very much envious of the Dravidians, what they call the Dravidians. They blame them for worshipping Lord Ramchandra and killing Ravana. Because Ravana was from South India and Lord Ram was from the north. So instead of celebrating Ram Vijay Dasami, where we have a big deity of Ravana and burn him, a big group of Madrasis got together and they made a deity of Lord Ramchandra and put a garland of shoes around him, paraded him through the street and then burned him. So they got 5 years drought. Anyway, they tried so many ways to bring the rain. They brought sophisticated rain cloud seeding machines, cloud seeding. Well, they don't make it. It's called cloud seeding. They seed the clouds there. They seed the clouds so that they. Anyway. Didn't work. None of the sophisticated equipment worked. Then Srila Prabhupada told us to have Harinam Sankirtan in Hyderabad on our farm. So we did that for 5 days, and at the end of 5 days, it started to rain. Anyway, that ultimately, as we discussed yesterday, you have to come to the conclusion that there's no safety, there's no protection, there's no shelter in this material world for you. You have to turn to Krishna. The second section, you can tell from this verse, Krishna begins to describe the nature of the soul. And the reason that Krishna is telling Arjuna about the indestructible nature of the soul is that Arjuna is bewildered. He sees that his relatives are going to die in the battle. And out of false compassion, he starts to make the wrong decisions. So, the way, and that's discussed in this from 11 to 30, verse 11 to 30, gradually there's a progression, but the theme is, the way you can maintain equanimity in your mind.
Az a módszer, hogy föl lehet tartani a szilárdságot az elmében.
The way you can be undisturbed despite all the disturbance in the external world.
És hogy ne legyünk megzavarodva, akármi is történik a külső világban.
Brahmanya adaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiya. Lipyatena sapapena padma patram ivambasa. The way you can be like a lotus flower in the water but not touched by the water. Or to steal a verse from Prithu, in the world but not of the world. That's from Jesus. Is to engage your senses in regulated activities. This is the secret. You need to have some prescribed duties. And you need to remain fixed in your prescribed duties. That's also the meaning of bhakti yoga. Hrishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. When your senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, that is bhakti yoga. So here in this first verse, Krishna has taken the position of guru and he has to break down Arjuna's misconceptions. Arjuna thinks he knows something. So Krishna chastises him, says, you're a fool. Sanatan Goswami, when he first met Lord Chaitanya after finishing his government service, he asked Lord Chaitanya a very significant question. He said, Ke ami? Kene amai jare tapatraya? Iha nahi jani kamane hita hoy? Who am I? Why do the threefold miseries give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be considered learned? How can I be benefited? Sanatan Goswami was a very learned scholar. He was from a Saraswat Brahmin family. He knew Sanskrit, he knew Persian, he knew all different branches of knowledge. But when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I'm a fool because I don't know who I am. All my knowledge is useless. When someone doesn't know who they are, or when they think they're someone else than who they actually are, they're considered crazy. So, Arjuna was identifying himself with the body. So Krishna chastised him. He said, Gatasun agatasuncha nanu sochanti pandita. A learned man does not lament for having got the body or having lost the body. The whole material world is full of duality. So the problem with duality is that if you accept one side of duality, you have to accept the other side. Just like this candle. If I pick up one end of the candle, I also pick up the other end of the candle. So, if I get attached to pleasure, then I will also experience pain. The same machine, the body, which gives me sense pleasure, it's also going to give me sense pain. Sukam indriyakam daitya deho yogena dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivad yathad dukkam ayatnatah. Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy. Learned from 5 years old, he can see. He tells his friends, don't waste your life in trying to increase happiness and distress. You're going to get a certain amount of pleasure. You can't avoid it. You've got previous karma, and you're going to get your good reactions and your bad reactions. Nobody struggles hard to suffer pain. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to go out and break my leg today. We try to avoid pain. We try to avoid suffering. But it comes without our desiring it. So the opposite side, pleasure, is going to come. It's just the opposite side. And it's going to come. You pick up one end of the candle and you pick up the other end also. You get attached to the body, you're going to experience birth and death. You're going to experience heat and cold. You're going to experience pain and pleasure. All sorts of dualities. So, one who is learned, he sees that all of this is just illusory. Now, this is the business of the spiritual master, to find fault in the disciple. We all have misconceptions. No one is perfect. Prabhupada gave so many examples. He used to like to give the example of Mahatma Gandhi. He was warned that don't go to the prayer meeting. We have news that someone will shoot you. But Mahatma Gandhi thought, no, no, I will be protected. Believe it or not, John F. Kennedy was warned, don't go to Dallas. The FBI knew something was happening. They warned him. He made a mistake. Even big men make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But how are we going to know our faults? It's hard to know our own faults. Our nose is so close to us, but we can't see it. Everybody try and look at your nose right now. You use it every day. It's so important to you. When you can't see your own nose. And you can't see your own faults. And you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you free yourself from lust, anger, and greed. And who is going to help you except someone who takes the trouble and who is guided by Krishna? So when the spiritual master chastises us, that is his blessing, that is his mercy. Now, Arjuna, his arguments for not fighting were quite intellectual. But his biggest mistake was that his material intelligence, he did not consider the eternal nature of the soul. So Krishna goes on to explain, natvevaham jatu nasham natvam neme janadipa nachaiva nabhivisham asarvayam ataha param. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So Krishna is saying, we existed, all of us existed in the past, we're existing right now, and he says, sarve vayamata param, in the future all of us will continue to exist. So in this verse, Krishna is making two important statements. One is that we, the individual soul, or I, the individual soul, am eternal. And secondly, he's saying that in the future we will continue to be individuals. In other words, the biggest problem that people have today, I'm telling you, it's everywhere in a very subtle way. Even the biggest religious people who claim to be personalists, they don't actually accept that God is a person. Now, a lot of people know that Buddhists and Taoists and Confucianists, they all think that God is a void or God is an energy.
Sokan tudják, hogy a buddhisták, a konfucianisták, a taoisták azt hiszik, hogy Isten egy üresség, és nem egy személy.
Many people think that Hinduism means impersonalism. A drop of water which is the ocean. But Christian does not agree with that philosophy. First of all, within the ocean there is so much variety. It's not that the ocean is completely one. Just like if you put some water in your bathtub, you know, it looks, oh, it's all the same, it's just water. And you take a drop of water and put it in that bathtub water and it appears to merge. But in the ocean, there are so many different varieties of life. There are so many different colors of water, for that matter. So, this example used by the impersonalists is not a good example. A better example is that Jiva Goswami quotes, a green bird flies into a green tree. So the green bird may appear to merge with the tree, but he doesn't lose his individual existence as a green bird. So Krishna goes on to explain the nature of the soul. He talks about transmigration, reincarnation. One of the biggest problems I always had with Western religion was this idea of only one birth. It did not at all make sense. What if a 2-month-old baby dies? Where does he go? Heaven or hell? What do you say? He didn't commit any sin, surely, a 2-month-old baby, but he didn't worship Jesus either. So where does he go? Heaven or hell? Eternally. So what's your answer? Jesus is kind, right? God is kind, Jehovah must be kind. How could he send a 2-month-old baby, a 3-week-old baby, to hell eternally? So most priests that I asked, most mullahs that I asked, they'd all say that the baby goes to heaven. So then my response was, great. Let's kill all the 2-month-old babies. Let them all go immediately to heaven. Heaven must be a better place than here. At least they don't have eclipses there. When I would say that, generally people would get angry. But we know that the soul has many lifetimes to complete its journey.
Tudjuk, hogy a léleknek sok élet van, ami, hogy beteljesítse az útját.
So this was a problem with Arjuna's philosophy. It did not consider the eternal nature of the soul. He was talking about killing Bhishma and Drona and Dhritarashtra, but
ez az a problémája Arjuna filozófiájának, hogy nem vette figyelembe a lélek örök természetét, hanem arról beszélt, hogy meg kell ölni a Bhishmát és Drona and Dhritarashtra.
Text number 14 is very nice. Krishna says that happiness and distress are just, they come, just like winter and summer seasons come. And you just have to learn to tolerate. These things come because we've accepted the body, and we just have to tolerate the suffering. Now, as devotees, we're discussing these things, we're preparing ourselves. We're meditating on the holy name of the Lord, we're meditating on the deity. So our minds are trained. When there is some cause for suffering in our bodies, we don't dwell on it. We don't linger. We don't dwell on it. So then Krishna goes on to talk about steadiness. He says it's yamhi na vyatiyantyete purusham purusharshava samadukha sukham dira somritatvaya kalpate. Someone who is equal in happiness and distress, he's eligible for liberation. So, I am going to stop there. We can continue tomorrow on this same section. Again, the theme here is that the spirit soul is eternal and indestructible. While material energy is temporary. Therefore, one should not be bewildered by the inevitable destruction of the material body. Jata shahid dhruvo mrityor dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Something that's born, it's going to die today, tomorrow, 100 years from now. There are two things that are certain in this world. Who knows what they are? Death and taxes, right? It's an American expression. So, when you know that the body is going to be destroyed sooner or later, when you're conscious of that, and you know that you as a spiritual being will never die, then you won't get bewildered. And one should remain fixed in prescribed duties, which purify one and allow one to realize the eternal self. So are there any questions or comments on these? Yes, Mataji.
In annyira megszoktam, hogy valami jó lehet, hogy rossz következik, és még az azt hiszem, hogy egyszer én nem is tudok viszonyulni ez a fogalmához.
Can't understand at all being free from dualities because it's so I'm so used to that everything after something good comes something bad.
You and me both. In the teachings of Lord Kapila, Srila Prabhupada paraphrases a discussion between Arjuna and Krishna. In other words, he doesn't give the exact words, but he gives in his own words their dialogue, their discussion, called paraphrasing. So, Arjuna says to Krishna that it's all right for you to tell me that I'm not this body, that's fine. But I'm going to have to fight and kill my uncles, my cousins, my guru. This is painful. You're telling me I'm not the body. That's fine. That's nice philosophy. And then Krishna smiles and says to Arjuna, yes, because you're attached to the body, you're going to have to suffer. So we have to learn how to purify our consciousness, how to elevate ourselves by listening to correct to perfect knowledge coming from Scripture. In other words, the Scripture may describe something that sounds logical, but it's hard for me to accept. But if I have a little faith and act in the right way, gradually my doubts and my ignorance will be destroyed. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahoitukam. The natural consequence of doing Bhakti Yoga is that you will be blessed with knowledge and detachment.
Bhakti Yoga végzésének természetes következménye, hogy megleszállt az ember detachment.
Knowledge and detachment.
Tudással és
How many years have you been practicing devotional service? Huh? I'm sure there's a big change in your consciousness in 7 years. It's not always easy to realize it unless you think about it deeply. Because the purification of your consciousness is gradual and subtle. But the whole way you look at the world has changed so greatly. And if you continue, you will get more knowledge, more detachment, more love. You should be very, very happy if you can achieve Krishna consciousness in one lifetime. We have to be patient. Any other questions? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki.